tonight's shiur. There's no Parsha Shavua this week. It's Sukkot, so the shiur will be in the topic of Sukkot, which will include hopefully some things about the Chag, and if we have time, about Hallel, Kohelis, perhaps. And the shiur is sponsored by Mishpachat Weinblatt from Ramat Beit Shemesh, Livul Nishpas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. Start off with the famous question. The Torah asks, why is it that Sukkot is celebrated in the month of Tishrei? The Sukkot, as we know, is celebrated Zecher La'anani HaKavod, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu brought a Shekhinah and surrounded us when we left Mitzrayim. So it would make sense that since the first time that they had the Shekhinah was when they left Mitzrayim, we should celebrate Sukkot in Nisan when we left Mitzrayim, perhaps right after Pesach. So why is it we wait till Tishrei to celebrate? So the famous answer Tur gives is that it's practical, because if we would celebrate it in Pesach, it would be hard to tell when we're sitting in the Sukkah that we're doing it L'shei Mitzvah Sukkah. It looks like we're going outside because it's starting to get warm, and it's nice to be outside before the days of air conditioning. Whereas in the Sukkah's time now, this season is when it starts to cool off. So you don't go making a hut to sit outside when it starts to cool off, so therefore it's the only way we can see that we're clearly doing it for the Mitzvah. That's one possible. The Gra has another interesting explanation. He says the following cheshbon. He says that it's true, the Sukkah Zecher L'Anani HaKavod, but what happened was, when the Klal Yisrael made the Egel HaZahav, the Shekhinah left us, and as a result, the Anani HaKavod, which was the Shekhinah, left as well. Now, when did the Anani HaKavod return? So he said, well, let's make the cheshbon, says the Gra. When they made the Egel, the Anei Kavod left, Shekhinah left. Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the mountain, Davin for Klal Yisrael, etc. And when were we forgiven? Hashem says, Salach Likid Varecha. That was on Yom Kippur, Yud Tishrei. Fine. So Yud Tishrei, Hashem forgave us for the Egel. However, the Anei Kavod didn't return until they began to build the Mishkan. So on Yud Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu came down the mountain. On Yud Aleph, he commanded to start building the Mishkan. So on Yud Beth and Yud Gimel, the next 2 days, that's when they brought all the Trumot to build the actual Mishkan. On Yud Gidalid, Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, he commanded them to stop bringing because they brought enough of the donations that were necessary. And then finally, therefore, on Tesvav, Tishrei, is when they began to build the Mishkan, and that's when the Anani HaKavod returned. So therefore, when did the Anani HaKavod return after it left us on time of the Egel? Tesvav Tishrei, which is Sukkot, first day of Sukkot. Therefore, it's actually very Matim, and we celebrate the Sukkot, which represent the Anani HaKavod, on Tesvav Tishrei, when it returned to us in the desert. The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he made two takanas. He said after the Beis Hamikdash were destroyed, he made a takana that the lulav should be taken 7 days even outside the Beis Hamikdash. In other words, during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they used to do Mina Torah, shehek the lulav 7 days during the all 7 days of the Chag Mina Torah. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, they only did it 1 day. But after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, in order to make a Zecher LeMikdash, to remind us of the Mikdash, so we do it all 7 days now, Midrabanan, to remind us of what they used to do in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And the second Takana, the Gemara and the Mishnah brings down, is that Yom Henef is Kulo Aser. What's Yom Henef? Yom Henef is the day, is a Yud Zayin of Nisan, is when they brought the Korban Omer. And in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in order to eat from the new produce, the Chadash, they had to wait till they offered the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. And only after the Korban, then they were allowed to eat from the Chadash. However, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then they were allowed to eat as soon as the morning of the Zion, because no korban to wait for, there's no Beis HaMikdash, no korban. So they're allowed to eat the right away. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that the whole day should be Esser. So, we'll explain why in a moment. But the Chiddush Yerim asks, why the connection between what's the connection between these two takanas? Takana that we should have the lulav all 7 days, and the takana that the 7th of Nisan should be, you know, the whole day should be Asr to eating for the Chana. Well, one thing to the other. You'll tell me, oh, but those are the only two takanas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made. Well, that's not true. He made a bunch of takanas. So why dafka these two that they put together? So the Chiddush Yerim says a beautiful word. Says the Chiddush Yerim, he says, because what happened? First of all, they made, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that they're going to begin to do the lulav all 7 days. So the people started getting sad. Why? Because again, why this takana making the lulav all 7 days? It's in order to zecher l'migdash. Now, why make a zecher l'migdash? If the Beis HaMikdash is to be built next day, you don't make a zecher. To remember the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have to remember anything. We're going to make the Mikdash tomorrow. So when he made this takana, no, we have to make a zecher l'migdash. People said, oi, gavalt. That's a siman that is going to be a long galus ahead of us. Because you have to make a zecher l'migdash. So people start getting sad. So then, to counter this, says the Chiddush Yerim, he made the second takana. Why? Because we said that the Korban Omer, in the time of Beis HaMikdash, when they offer the Omer, then they can eat from the Chadash. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, first thing in the morning, they can eat. So why did they make this takana that the whole day is Asr, and there's no Beis HaMikdash? Because, says the Gemara, they were worried that Shema, perhaps the Beis HaMikdash will get built, right, any Mehera, says Gemara says, very quickly, very soon. And then what's going to happen? People are going to say, well, I remember last year we ate from the Chadash first thing in the morning. So I guess we can eat first thing in the morning. But they're forgetting that no, there was no Beis HaMikdash last year. That's why it was Mutter in the morning. But now there's a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait until the Korban Omer. So therefore, he made sure that they can never eat it right in the morning. They would have to wait the whole till only to the after the end of the day, right? And then they wouldn't make this mistake of thinking, well, yesterday we ate it early. Ah, so what do we see, says the Chiddush Yerim, that the second takana was that what? That perhaps the Beit HaMikdash will get built speedily, very soon. And people are going to say, oh, yesterday, last year we ate. Ah, so this was to counter the feeling that the people may have that, oh, you know, takana of the 7 days of the lulav. Oh, that means the long galus. What's going to be? You know, I was like, no, don't worry. There's a second takana that shema behera. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. Oh, so that uplifted the people's spirits. That was the reason of the second takana. Next, it's interesting. Chazal, it says that the sukkah has the property. It's a mesugal to quench or quench the Yetzer Hara of Lashon Hara. Interesting. Says the Gra the following interesting Hara. He says that there's the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, there's five. It's called Motzah Tapeh. Right, the letters of the Hebrew alphabet are pronounced with different parts of your mouth. Okay, what are they? The letters Zayin, Samech, Tzadik, Shin are pronounced with the teeth. Use your teeth to pronounce them. The letters Bet, Vav, Mem, Pei, one uses his lips. The letters Gimel, Yud, Kaf, and Kuf is the Chech, your palate. The Aleph, Hei, Ches, Ayin and Resh is the Garon. Use your throat, the guttural. And finally, Datlanat, Dalid, Tet, Lamed, Nun, Taf, one uses his tongue. So Gra says something beautiful. He says, the Sukkah, how do you spell Sukkah? Samach, Vav, Kaf, Hei. Samach is the letter that one uses his teeth for. Vav is a letter that one uses his lips for. Kaf, the chech, the palate, and hey, for of sukkah, is the garon, guttural. So there's only one, that's four letters, four parts. There's one one part of the mouth which is not used, and that's the Lashon. Why? Because the Torah, again, pointing out that the Sukkah, as we said, is Mesugal to Docha, the Yetzer Hara of Lashon Hara. And therefore, the word Sukkah has all the parts of the speech to it except for Lashon, because Lashon Hara is pushed off by the Sukkah. And there's a hint to it in Pasuk in Tehillim. It says in the Pasuk, Titz b'neim besuko besuka meriv lishonos. In other words, you'll be protected with the sukkah from riv, from the strife of the tongue. So we see that the sukkah, as we said, is a protection against the lashon hara, meriv lishonos. I was thinking personally to add to that another side to this more. We also find Chafetz Chaim brings down a sefer Shmiras HaLashon in Shara Torah Perak Aleph, that he says, I'll quote, "Hinei yesh od tikun klali hamyuchad lepgam lashon hara." And there's another, he says, a special thing that's is metakenic. It fixes up the pagam of Lashon Hara. And what is that? He says, Limud HaTorah. He brings down the Gemara in Erechin. It says, Amar Rav Chama Barabi Chanina, Ma takana shem soma sapre Lashon Hara. What's the takana of a person speaks Lashon Hara? Because should be misakin this. So he said, the answer is, Im Talmud Chachamu Yasok B'Torah. The Torah is a cure for it. As it says, Shneemar, Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim. The cure for the Lashon is Eitz Chaim. And what's Eitz Chaim? The Torah, as it says, Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim ba. The Torah is represented as Chaim, Torah is Chaim. So I was thinking, it's very interesting, because they also bring down that the Arba Minim are a remez to the Torah. How so? Well, we have the Lulav. Lulav is Lamed Vav, made up of Lamed Vav and Lamed Beis. Lamed Vav is 36, represents Torah Sheval Peh, the 36 Masechtas of Shas. And Lamed Beis is, the Lamed represents the last letter in the Torah, the written Torah of Yisrael, and Beis is the first letter, Bereshis. So Lulav is representative of the Torah, Torah Shebechtav Sheval Peh. Furthermore, they say that Lulav itself in Gematria is Chaim. As we said, Eitz Chaim Hi, the Torah is itself Eitz Chaim, is a tree of life, and a lulav, same gematria of Chaim. And finally, Esrog in gematria is 610, and you add the three minim, it's 613, which is the mitzvahs of the Torah. So we see the lulav, Esrog, the minim, it's all representative of the Torah. And we said, Chafetz Chaim says, that the Torah is Mesugal to Misak and Lashon Hara. So here we have the Sukkah together with the Arba Minim, all together are, as we said, are the special properties of being Docha and Misak and the Vera of Lashon Hara. Another famous gra is that the word Sukkah is what's spelled, what's spelled Chaser, Samach Kaf Hei. And these three letters are representative of the three types of sukkahs which are kosher. Right? What are the three types? The most mahudr is to have a four-walled sukkah. That's the best. Then one can have a three-walled sukkah. Or even a two-walled sukkah and a third wall, just a tefach. If you look at the letters, sukkah, samach, kaf, hey, these are the three types of sukkah. Samach is four sides. Let's see, rake a samach, it's like a circle, four sides. The kaf is three sides. And the hey is two, and a little chipchik, that's the tefah. So in the word sukkah itself, the three types of sukkahs. There's a mice also with the gra, when one of his talmidim boasted to the Rebbe that he learnt Masechta Sukkah inside and out. And he asked the Gra if he could please test him. So he says, no problem, I'll test you. And he asked him the following question. He says, how many machlokot, how many arguments are there between Abaye and Rav and the Masechta? Well, the Talmud is like, how am I supposed to know that? And the Gra said, okay, you see, you didn't learn it properly. You know the Torah, you have to know Torah inside and out. So he said, okay, I'll give you another chance. He says, how many examples do we find in Shas of kosher sukkahs and unkosher sukkahs? Again, the Talmud says, well, how am I supposed to know that? Again, yeah, obviously you're not learning properly. So what did he tell him? Well, very interesting. He says, the unkosher sukkahs is, if you spell sukkos chaser, it's samach kaf taf. You leave out the vav. Spell it chaser. So it represents sukkahs which are missing, which are chaser, which are not shalem. They're missing. They're not kosher. So you take the gematria of samach kaf taf sukkos chaser is 480. So he says there's 480 examples in the Shas of sukkahs which are not kosher. How many are kosher? Well, spell sukkahs male. When there's no chisronos, nothing lacking. Samech vav, kav vav taf, which is 492, and that's the number of kosher sukkahs and shas. I didn't myself count them, but I'm taking his word for it. Next, hopefully we won't have to deal with this chazal this year, but we know that if it rains on sukkahs, it's a bad siman. And the Gemara in Sukkah brings a mashal. What is it like to an eved, a slave that came to limzog kos l'rabo, is the lashon used, to give his master a cup of wine, and instead the rav, instead of accepting graciously the cup of wine, he spilt some water in the face of the Ebit. That's the mashal. So simple pshat is, so to here, you know, here we are, we want to serve Hashem like the Ebit want to serve the master, and what happens, like just like the master threw water in the Ebit, so Hashem's like throwing water at us, making it rain, says, I don't want your service, I don't want your mitzvah. That's a simple pshat. The Gra, however, has a deeper meaning to this mashal. And why Dafka this, he wants him to leave so low cost, so why Dafka cost, etc. It says something beautiful. It says that in those days, it's not like today. Now, in wine, we just open our bottle of wine and we pour the wine. In those days, it was what we have to like a concentrate. You know, if you had to buy apple juice concentrate or whatever, what is it? It's you can't drink the concentrate. You have to add water to it until you make the thing. That's how their wines used to be. Very, very strong. You can't drink the wine by itself. You have to mix it with water. So the master here in the mashal, therefore, you know, wanted some wine. And the slave came to limzog kos l'rabo, meant to, limzog means to mix. Right, to mix the wine with the water. You can't give the wine there, right? To mix it with the water. So says the Gra, that what is this Meramis to? That after Yom Kippur, Hashem goes there, you know, goes Exeris on Yom Kippur, what's going to be throughout the year. However, he gives us a little bit of a lengthening of the din, you know, a little chance, until Hoshana Rabbah, until things are totally, totally finalized. Okay? And in order to help us out, what does he do? He gives us mitzvahs, lots of mitzvahs. Mitzvah sukkah, which we do with our whole body, etc. And that's a little bit of, you know, throws in some mitzvahs over there after Yom Kippur, that before Shana Rabbah, to make we can soften the din with some rachmi. That's what sukkah is all about. So therefore, the limzog kos l'rabo, it's like the concentrate is like the din, it's the very, you know, strong harif thing, and the pouring the water is to dilute the din, and therefore Hashem gives us a chance during these days of Sukkot to dilute the din that we might have on Yom Kippur. But what happens, like the mashal, when the master spritzes water and says, no, stop, I don't want it. It's like Hashem saying, I'm not going to give you a chance. I'm not going to let you, you know, do the mitzvah of sukkah. And therefore, I'm not allowing you to, kilu, add the water to the wine, to soften the din, the rachmi, soften the din, for whatever reason. We're not roy for that. And therefore, that's the idea of the rain being a simen ra. It's Hashem saying, I'm not giving you a chance for rachamim in the din over here. That's the we find by the mashal. Reminded me of Lomaisa. I forgot who the Rebbe was. It was the Admorim, and his daughter prepared him a cup of coffee. So he was a coffee, and he didn't drink it. His other daughter prepared him also a cup of coffee and brought it, and that he drank. So the first daughter was upset. Said, "Why didn't you drink from my coats?" So he said, "I'll tell you why." He says, "Because I didn't like the way you prepared the coffee." He says, how'd you prepare the coffee? He says, well, I noticed that first you put the sugar in, and then after you added the coffee, and then you poured the water. So he says, okay, so what's wrong with that? So he says, no. He says, the coffee is bitter, right? It's dark, it's bitter. The coffee represents din, okay? And sugar is sweet, it's white, it's sweet, so that's rachamim. So when you're making a cup of coffee, he says, if you first put the sugar and then the coffee, it's like first putting the rachamim, and then after that, you put in the coffee, which is like the din, the dark, the bitter, the on top, it's like you're squelching the rachamim with the din. And he says, that's not how you make coffee. You have to do it the other way around. First you put in the coffee, which is the din, and after that you add the sugar, to mematik the din, make sweeten the din. And therefore, that's why I drank your sister's coffee, which she made properly, first putting the coffee and sugar, and not the sugar in the coffee. Since then I tried to be makfi to put in my coffee first, for the sugar. Anyways, now let's go on to a little bit from Hallel. One little short word. It says, Pasuk we say in Halal, Atzabeim kesev v'zahav ma'isi yedei adam. So, simple pshat is, Atzabeim is their idol. Their idols of the goyim are made of silver and gold. They're ma'isi yedei adam. They're the handiwork of man, etc. However, the Dorshim say like this, Atzabeim is less than nerves. He says, you know why people are always nervous? They're all, they have Atzabeim, right? They're all upset. Why? Because they think that kesev v'zahav ma'isi yedei adam. Because they think that, oh, what they do, they think what they do is, and therefore it's not successful, they're upset, they're cursing themselves, whatever, they're all atzabim, right? They're atzabim is why, because kesev v'zahav ma'isi yedei adam. We say in Hallel, number of times, hodu l'shem ki tov ki lo olam chasto. That we are thanking Hashem, Hodu Hashem, because Kitov, because He's good. So there's the Gemara and Psachim actually darshan on this pasuk, Hodu Hashem Kitov, that what's why is Hashem good? Because He's a gove chovaso shel adom betovato. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Ashir b'shoro, ani b'seyo, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sometimes pity on a person. The person deserves to be, let's say, chas v'shalom, either sick or worse, die. But Hashem has rachmanes, and instead of punishing the goof, He takes it out on the person's money, which is much better, right? Better to suffer a loss monetarily than to be killed, right? And that's the hodu l'Hashem, why kitov, that he's gove the chov of a person that is yet to be punished, why betovato, which is good, with his property, things that he has, and instead of on the person himself. There's a famous maisa with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that he once bumped into Eliyahu Navi, and he asked if he can accompany him, whatever. So they came to this couple, which are very, very, very poor, and they lived in some shed, and they were eating like dry, you know, bread and dry quality, nothing, mamish, nothing. The only thing they had was this one little cow, which they got their parnasa from, little milk and cheese or whatever, and they just that was their whole source of parnasa. Anyway, so Eliyahu Navi and Shimon Levi, they went there, and they asked if they can, you know, stay there. But stay the night. So they said, sure, no problem. And they the couple served the little bread they had. They served it to them, whatever. So the next morning, Rabbi Shimon Levi saw that Eliyahu Navi davened to Hashem that these couple's cow should die. And it did. So afterwards, you know, you can imagine, Shimon Levi said to him, I don't understand, what did you do? right? This couple had nothing. The only thing they had was this para. And that you took away from them after all the chesed they did with us. You know, they put us up. And then, how could you do such a thing? So he says, you don't understand. He says, there is a gzera on this woman that she should die. Okay, gzera shemayim. But, I felt terrible. So a woman die, you know. So therefore, I dumb into Hashem. Then instead of taking the woman's life, he should take the para's life. Let the para die, not the woman. So well, that wasn't good. That's Gova Chavasa Shaladam Betovasa. Similarly, there's Maisu Shlomo Amelach. It was a man that came to Shlomo Amelach and asked him if he could teach him the Sfat Haofot, the language of the birds. So Shlomo Amelach knew all the languages of the animals, and he said, no, it's not Kedai. You shouldn't know this language. He goes, why? I really want to know. And he kept bugging him. So finally he acquiesced. He said, okay, fine, I'll teach you it. But I'm telling you, you're going to be sorry. He goes, no, I want to know. Fine. So he taught him the bird's lush. What happened? One night, he hears the chickens talking in his farm or whatever. And he said, one of them says, yeah, you know, there's going to be a geneva. There's going to be a geneva tonight over here. And he heard them talking. He goes, oh, geneva. Oh. So he stayed up all night, you know, with his gun or whatever. Sure enough, exactly what they said happened. A ganav broke in, but with a few ganavim broke in. But because he was, you know, awake and ready, he caught them and turned them in. He saved his possessions. Oh, Baruch Hashem, good thing I knew the lush. Another time, he heard the chicken talking. And they said, oh, you know, there's going to be a fire here tonight. This whole guy's whole barn is going to burn up. So he goes, oh, no, fire. He goes, I better stay up with my fire extinguishers and everything, you know. They said there's going to be a fire. So sure enough, he stayed up, and there was a fire. And he quickly got to it, put it out, and Baruch Hashem. A little while later, again he heard the birds talking. One says to the other one, you know, this guy here, he's going to die tonight. He's going to die tonight. He goes, I'm going to die tonight? He goes, oh my gosh. So he runs to Shlomo Melech. He goes, the bird said, I'm going to die. Why am I dying? Why should I die? I don't understand what's going to happen. So Shlomo Melech says, see, I told you you shouldn't have loaned the blush of the birds. He goes, why? What was it got to do with it? He says, you don't understand. He said, you were supposed to have your stuff stolen. And that would have taken the gzera off your life, right? You're supposed to die. But Hashem said, you know what? I'll let his house be robbed. And then he won't have to be suffering. He won't have to die. But no, because you knew this last thing, you stopped the Ganeim. So Hashem said, okay, still had Rachmanis on you, Hashem said. You know what? I'll burn down his house. So then he'll have his kapara and he won't have to be killed. But again, you outsmarted, you heard the lashon of the birds, oh, you stopped the fire. Hashem said, that's it. I tried your house being robbed. I tried to give you a fire. No, you shouldn't die, but you outsmarted yourself. So now, that's it. So now I have no other choice but to kill you. The Ben Yishchai says, Piremes, he says that the word chov in Gematria is 16, plus one is tov. So in other words, like we said, that if something might look like a chov, you know, like a geneva, a burned down house, like we said, or whatever, looks like a chov, but if you add the one, you add Hashem to it, then it's tov. Chov plus one is tov. He says a hint to it in Tehillim. There's a pasuk that says, Ein ose tov, ein gam echad. If you can't see the tov in it, ein ose tov, then ein gam echad. You also don't see the one over here. You don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu, b'men, it looks bad. It doesn't look good. But if you add the one to the chov, then b'men, it's tov. So, one last idea. In the Hallel, we shake the lulav. So, we shake the lulav in Ana Hashem Oshiyana. And also at Hodul Hashem Ki Tov. So there's Avudram that's found a remez to this in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Az Yeraninu Atze Hayar. So this refers to the shaking of the Yeraninu, the Atze Hayar, these trees in the forest. And when is that? It says after that, Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, Hoshia Hoshienu Elokei Yishenu. So when is this Yeraninu? As when do we shake it? But Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, and in Hoshia Elokei Yishenu, when we say An Hashem Hoshiana. There's a Maisa with Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka, Rosh Shiva Poros Yosef, that once a Bachur came to him with the question. He says, Rabbi, I'm thinking about leaving the yeshiva. He says, why do you want to leave the yeshiva? So I found another place, and I thought, you know. So the Rebbe said, so when I know, I think it's Kedai, should I change the yeshiva? So Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka said, let me ask you a question. He says, do you want to leave the yeshiva because you're unhappy, it's not good here, and therefore you need the somewhere else because it's not good here? Or is it okay over here, but you just think maybe it'll be better over there, be more at Sliach in the other place? He says, Rabbi Behemet, here it's okay. Truth is, I'm happy here, but I thought maybe this other place will be better. So he told him, then don't go. Says why? He says, because if you know, during Hallel on Sukkot, right, we say Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana. When do we shake the lulav? Ana Nem Hoshiyana. We move the lulav. We move when Hoshiyana, when we need to be saved. When it's not good here and I need to get out, so then move. Then you move. Then Hoshiyana. That's when you shake the lulav. But Ana Hashem Atzlichana. If you're okay, but you just want to be more matzliach, we don't shake the lulav. You don't move. You don't move just to be more Matzliach. You only move the Shia. So I heard from Rav Levinstein, he wants to add another taich to this, and he said that the other place we shake the lulav is by Hodul Hashem Kitov. So he wants to say very nice that why do we shake it there? Because Lamaisa, we have to be moda to Hashem on everything, right? But what? Unfortunately, when do people only wake up to moda? When they get shaken up, right? Only when they're shaken, then Hodul Hashem Kitov. They moda Hashem only after something happened and then they were saved, whatever. Only then did they get shaken. And I would like to add my little addition to this. Because there's another time when the lulav is shaken as well. And when is that? During when the Sheikh Tzibur, in Hodul Hashem Kitov, Kilom Chasdor, there's four verses. There's Hodul Hashem Kitov, Kilom Chasdor, Yomar Na Yisrael, Kilom Chasdor, and then we say Yomar Na Beis Aaron, Kilom Chasdor, and then with Yirei Hashem, Kilom Chasdor. So we have these four times. So when during the Chazar Sachatz, going to our Minhag, the Shliach Tzibur, on the first two verses, he shakes the lulav, and not on the second two, not in Beis Aaron or Yirei Hashem. So I was thinking, why? Because the Shliach Tzibur represents, like, the leader. He's the Shliach of the Tzibur. And he's there to represent the leader, trying to mirror the Tzibur, wake them up. So who is it necessary to wake them? So first, Hodul Hashem Kitov, like we said, people that need awakening in order to realize Hashem's goodness, like we said before, fine. He shakes the lulav, says, okay, you need to shake to awaken the people. And which type of people we're talking about? Yomar Na Yisrael. Amcha Yisrael, regular, average, yid. Again, have to be shaken. But the last two, Beis Aaron, and the last one, Yirei Hashem, well, the Beis Aaron is the Kohanim, well, there's Rizimim, they're known to be Zaris, they don't need to be awakened. And the last one, Yirei Hashem as well, the ones that fear Hashem, they also don't need the same awakening. Mela, the Sheikh Tzibur Dafka shakes the lulav in the first two, which is for the Amcha, and not the last two, which are the people that don't need it so much. B'zot Hashem, we should always zoicha to have a very simcha diga chag, chag of Sukkot, which is the chag of simcha, and it's Hashem, we should be zochet to this and have only simanim tovim this chag, and so we can be showered with Hashem's rachamim, and through this be zochet to the ikar bracha of rachamim of the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehir v'yameinu. Amen.